you already know how important community is to shape your future, but you're not doing anything about it. So at the end of this 30 minutes, if you listen to the episode, you're going to want to do something about it. You're not going to feel guilty. You're going to want to do something about it. So what you're getting out of today's episode is the motivation to plug into a community that guaranteed will change your life and help you grow your coaching business. Bobby Richards, my producer, and I are going to talk today about community and why it is so important for you as a coach to be in community. With that, welcome to Coach Builder, a Business Made Simple podcast limited series teaching you exactly how to turn your skills and expertise into a successful coaching business. All of this is based on my new book, Coach Builder. It is out now. You can go get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy books. I am your host, Donald Miller. Bobby, what is the number one predictor that a coach is going to succeed in their coaching business? Give me like a brainstorm. Shotgun list.
Let's punch list it out. Okay. Well, I'd say predictors would be lining up everything that I think we've talked about up to this point. You know, like getting your menu of products, you know, knowing what problem you solve, getting your website up, all that jazz. I'd say a CRM.
I don't know if that's the number one predictor of whether you succeed. That's the number one predictor of whether or not you're going to go north of like $300,000 or $400,000.
Sure. So that's a great predictor of success.
That's the next level success.
Predictor of next level success. I would say that on top of all of that, another predictor is being part of or fostering a community.
It's amazing that you guessed it, because it is true to the briefing that you sent me on this episode.
You're right. I was going to say, it is true to the chapter of the book that we both have open right now.
Yeah, I would say it is by far the number one predictor of your success. If you are starting or trying to grow a coaching business, is whether or not you are part of a coaching community. That is a community of other coaches who are talking to each other about best practices, what's working, what's not working, by far. And it's not because of the community. It is because the community is going to, you know, create some peer pressure for you to get a CRM and get your website right and create a great menu of products.
Sure.
In other words, the community will predict whether or not you follow the other seven steps in the book.
The community will hold you accountable as you hold you hold yourself accountable because of the community.
Well, you know, it was interesting as I researched the book. I was kind of wondering about community, and I think it's one of the things that's really important. And so I began researching the importance of community. And, you know, we all know, especially those of us who are coaches, that you're not going to grow any bigger, better as a human being, more evolved than the people you hang out with. It's probably not going to happen.
True.
In fact, Malcolm Gladwell, do you remember in, I think it was Tipping Point, where Malcolm Gladwell talked about, he was using this story sort of metaphorically as it relates to other things, but he said that if you grow up in a family and your family has a certain accent, you know, maybe they came from Poland or something like that, and they have a Polish accent, and you're raising your children, they spend 95% of their time in your home where everybody speaks with a Polish accent, your children will not develop that accent. Your children will develop the accent of their friends.
Their peers, their friends, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's true to life. That's my wife. She grew up, she's first generation American Polish immigrants. And
wow,
she
how could I have guessed
does not, it? I know, well, doesn't have an accent, you know? And it is incredible. We always talk about that if we moved to Australia, that we'd be excited because our kids would have Australian accent.
I love it. But, you know, it can't just be accents, though. It's got to be other stuff.
It's something else. There's something deeper.
I believe this so strongly that if my daughter in, you know, junior high and high school started hanging out with the wrong kids, it would be enough to make me move, to leave the city that we live in.
Really?
And certainly pull her out of school, find a different school, because I think the friends that she makes junior high, high school, and college is the number one greatest predictor of her future health. And, you know, mental health, her success in life, her ability to love and be loved and not resent the fact that life has dealt her a bad hand or, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's those optimistic, good character friends, which is puts all of us parents in a tough place because, you know, she probably doesn't want the friends that I would want for her.
Sure,
as soon as she finds out. But yeah, in kind of doing the research on this for the book, you know, I kind of wanted to put a chapter in here about community. And then the more research I did, the more I realized I've got to have a great community. And I just think you have to be really careful who you hire. And also when you've got it down, and I firmly believe we do, you can't mess with that because the community is just that important. Did you go see Good Will Hunting in the theater when you were a kid?
I didn't
see
it.
How old were you?
When it came out, I was on a date with my first girlfriend and we rented it.
Oh, got it. So you went down to Blockbuster.
I went to Blockbuster. It is a very pinnacle movie in my growing up because I do remember seeing it on a date, popping that in the VCR and awkwardly sitting next to the girl that I was very, all about at the time.
That movie started being written when Ben Affleck and Matt Damon were in high school and they went to high school together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they would not eat in the regular cafeteria.
They had business meetings, quote unquote, and business meetings. Yeah.
They had business meetings and they talked about making a movie. They talked about winning the Academy Award. They talked, and you know, it was two friends. And I guarantee you separate those guys into different high schools and you don't know who either of those guys are.
Totally.
It's also true for, who else was I reading about? It was Leonardo DiCaprio and who's the actor who played Spider-Man?
Tobey Maguire. Yeah, they both came up together. Yeah.
They were like childhood friends.
You've got the same thing with George Lucas and his little ragtag group.
Is that right? Did he know Steven Spielberg?
They were all part of the same group. I think when he was editing Star Wars, Steven Spielberg kind of came in because he was up and coming, had just done Jaws, but he was still the youngest of the group. But with like Francis Ford Coppola, Brian De Palma, all those guys with George Lucas, they were helping him and also really going hard on him to make that movie the best it could be. You know, they weren't cheerleading him the whole time.
You know, it's funny here in Nashville, we've got these kind of business leader personalities. You know, me, John Acuff, Dave Ramsey, Michael Hyatt.
Amy Porterfield.
Dr. Josh Axe, Porterfield. Patrick Lencioni supposedly is moving to Nashville. Henry Cloud has just moved here to Nashville. And it's happening. And we do get together. We get together for dinner, you know, occasionally. And we just learn from each other. It's, you know, it's really amazing. It's a very generous hearted group of people. I also meet with Mike Michalowicz has a author for authors meetup once a year. We're going to meet for 2 days this year. It started out with James Clear, Ryan Holiday, me, John Rowland, John Gordon. And it was just a group of guys that we thought, hey, let's get some guys together and talk shop. And that group is now, we will meet this August with 50 New York Times bestselling business authors.
Wow.
Amy Porterfield is in it. Jenna Kutcher is in it.
I love that you started off by going, it's just a group of guys, just a group of, you know, bestselling authors up front.
It started out as a very informal group of guys. Informal group of guys. And then immediately we're like, six guys is no fun. But out of that meeting, there were 25 of us last year. And I would say out of that meeting, like probably everybody who left heard something that would add seven figures to their bottom line.
Oh, sure. You came back to the office. You were riding high off that. That's what I want to ask you is, how did that level up being in that group for you? Like, how did you feel like you had to show up for that group and that made you, you know, better?
Nice thing is, I kind of trick Mike into, if I host it and pay for the food, Mike has to run the thing.
Yeah.
And it really is his thing. And he's so great at sort of facilitating the conversation, but it allowed me to just sit back and kind of take notes and,
sure,
you know, eat cookies.
Yeah.
But I mean, I took so many notes on how different people are doing things differently. I mean, a lot of our YouTube strategy came out of that. Our publishing strategy, we're going to have a StoryBrand publishing imprint came out of that. I mean, I had a task list probably 5 pages long of single-spaced, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And I mean, how much would that cost you? You know, if you had to like go pay a consultant, I would say $100,000.
I was going to say six figures easy.
Yeah, 100 grand and a lot of time. And instead, it was all free. We get together for free. Nobody pays anything. And we just exchange ideas. And everybody's just extremely generous. There's not very much competition in the group. Not intentionally, but, you know, we're all just writing sort of different things. And we've carved out our own niche. And it's fantastic.
Well, I was going to say, and even if you are paralleled in the market as a thought leader, your voice is unique. How you propose it is unique. How you talk to your customers is unique. So you're only gaining right. from hearing other people, even if they're right next to you. Like, I'm sure, you know, there are people in that room that you're going, oh yeah, and quote, we're quote unquote competitors. But it's that thing of going, you only get better from just leaning into and learning from people that are in that community with you.
I also guarantee you two things. If you join some sort of mastermind, and there's a lot of people who have the same kind of level of business, you know, it's a $2 million business or a $10 million business, wherever you are, and there's nobody who directly competes with you in that group, you're going to learn a lot, and you're going to grow a lot, and your business is going to grow a lot. If there is even one person who directly competes with you, you're going to grow more. And the reason is jealousy and competition.
Right, right.
You're just like, man, if I don't execute, that dude's going to carve out some of my territory. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you're going to get off your butt and you're going to do some things. So, you know, all of it is really positive. And here's the great thing about community. Unlike any other step that I've outlined in this book, unlike anything else you can do, it largely affects you by osmosis.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it just affects you because you're around those people. And I would say the same, if you want to lose 20 pounds, I'm doing this because I've got 20 pounds to lose.
I have 20 pounds I need to lose.
Bobby, you are invited.
Okay.
This Saturday morning at 8 a.m. in my garage, all my buddies are getting together. All my buddies, like three of my buddies are getting together. And a friend of mine is a trainer, and he's going to meet us for like 90 minutes. And we're going to do the old man, I don't want to risk an injury workout.
That's amazing. Because I'm entering in that world. I'm past 40. So I'm totally
going.
Not,
oh, yeah. I'm telling you, an injury at 40 is not an injury at 20.
Oh, tell me about it.
You know, what you healed from overnight at 20 takes a week.
Waking up at 40 is different than waking up at 20. I mean, just life.
But I promise you, that is actually going to be a greater predictor of any of us getting into shape than any sort of diet plan or nutrition plan or anything like that. It's literally like in 2 weeks, you know, if you're 2 weeks out of the workout, I got to weigh in with those guys.
Exactly. And I'm not going to be the one that's the same, or I'm not going to be the one that has that extra pound.
Or up by a pound.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We're all going to be wearing like aluminum suits the night before trying
just
to
sweat it out.
Show up dehydrated. Community is it. And so the question as it relates to your coaching business is, I'm telling everybody, if you want a $500,000 coaching business, you will not do it without entering into a community of other coaches, because the motivation is there, the ideas are there, the sharing of best practices are there, the encouragement, the inspiration, all of that comes in community. And it's worth it. We have the Coach Builder community. If you join our membership program, we put you in a small group with a small group leader who's on my staff. That small group leader's job is to get you 100 grand in 12 months. But we're going to do that by saying, hey, man, it's been 3 weeks and your website isn't up. And you got to show up at your small group. And everybody's going, "Why? Why aren't you just doing the website? He's asked you five times, do your website, right?
You got your weigh-ins. No. Yeah, these are your weigh-ins as a coach. Yeah.
We should actually call them that, weigh-ins. And then there's a Slack channel, there's some regional meetups, and then there's the annual Coach Builder Summit, which we do here in Nashville. You know, that is enough that you can say by the end of the year, you've got some really significantly good friends who are also coaches that you talk to on a regular basis. We did this with our marketing guide community years ago, and now we have guides who have started agencies together, you know, and they're making $1 million. And they started these agencies together because they just like talking to each other and being around each other. And so they started these things.
Well, and they see that they can come together and they can offer more. They're more powerful. They can solve more problems, because you might have somebody who's like, "Hey, I'm a killer website designer, but yep. I don't write copy. I write copy, but I don't know a thing about."
And I don't want to. Yeah, and I don't want to make websites.
They come together. Yeah.
And the other one, and then the real person you need is like, "I don't want to do any of that, but I'm great at closing sales." Like,
sure.
You're hired.
Yeah.
You are
triple
absolutely
threat.
Hired. Yeah, so who knows what will happen if you join our Coach Builder community. However, if you don't want to join our Coach Builder community, you can actually create one. And I've done this a few times to great success. I've also done it a couple times to what I would consider failures in terms of trying to meet my objectives. But you can create a community. And the way you create a community is you get together, you know, at least once a month. You could do it once a quarter, but you need more time. So if you did it once a quarter, you would do like all Saturday morning. But if you do it once a month, you can do a like first Tuesday of the month, we do breakfast at Stay Golden.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sit there for 2 hours and you don't have to, you kind of roughly facilitate a conversation. Hey, what's working in your coaching business? What is not working? What you know, and then what are you worried about? And can we all speak into that? I would keep it real. I would keep maybe the facilitated questions down to like three.
Sure.
Now, here's where those things don't work is when somebody fails to understand that a community takes about three meetings before it stops feeling really awkward.
Right. It's like a friendship. You know what I mean? Like when you're hanging out with somebody and you meet them, then you see them again, it's a little clunky and you're like, oh, hey, oh man. And it isn't until, yeah, that third or fourth time until you
and
feel
and the times, is it true that the times that you hit it off with somebody right away are like 50-50 on whether or not you're not even going to like them a year later? Or, you know, because it's a natural progression that you kind of go, okay, I don't know about these people. I don't know if I feel safe. And then the next time you go, okay, that's, this guy was kind of interesting. I kind of like him. And the third time, you know, they kind of pull you aside and say, hey, I made this mistake once and here's what I did to help my client. And then you're like, okay, I love that dude.
It takes, and
it's not even like hours. It's like 2 hours and then a month off and then 2 hours and then a month off and then 2 hours and then a month off. So where most people fail to create a community is they don't actually get the community together four times. And it's the fourth time that you begin to not feel awkward. The group of guys that I go fishing with, it was literally the fourth year that I was like, I really like these guys. And then it's a rocket ship. After that, it takes off like crazy. But you know, it just takes a minute. And then the rest is really osmosis. It really is. You just figure things out and you execute on whatever their best practices are and it takes off. But I would say in terms of creating a community, get the right demographic together. So if you want to create a community of coaches, which I strongly recommend, you want to find coaches in your area. So just put out on Instagram, hey, I'm looking to get a group of coaches together. I give you a 70% shot that the people who show up at the first one are not actually the people who you're going to click with. And then but you keep inviting more and more people. And then the people who like each other and get along stick around and they keep coming back. And by about the fourth meeting, you kind of have a core group of coaches together and you're sharing best practices and all that stuff. And your business just grows. It is, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, it is the number one predictor, in my opinion, of whether or not your coaching business is going to take off. I wouldn't do anything else first. I mean, get started with your website, start playing around with your CRM, all that kind of stuff. But get a community. And if you're not in a community, join our community. It's not expensive compared to what you get out of it.
Well, and think about just all of the insight and info and guidance you get from, like you said, if you get all of your ducks in a row, and by ducks, it's like, yeah, CRM, website, even to a degree, like menu of products, you know, you're knocking it out through the steps. Then you hit this step, you hit step seven, community, and you show up with that group and you say, hey, here's everything I have lined up.
Yep.
I haven't really started yet. Some of those people there are probably a little bit ahead of you and they will speak into, well, you know what I did? I did this, 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 and this really helped me get the ball down the field, you know? And so it's just, and you're rocking and rolling that way too.
You know, we hired a guy and we hired about three or four people and I wanted to offset the cost of that new labor. And, you know, because you're always trying to keep your profit margins high. And it's like, okay, we need something. And I never really wanted to do a mastermind because I just thought it would be really complicated, really hard. And it was another author who said, actually, it's not that difficult. They get a lot of value from being with each other. So, you know, here's how to do it. Here's how to structure it. Here's how to bill for it. Here's approximately what to charge. And we did that and made enough money on our first year of mastermind to pay all of the salaries from the people that we just hired. And I would not have figured that out. It was a 15-minute conversation. I would not have figured out, one, how to do it, or two, kind of had the psychological, emotional permission to do it without that friend saying, well, let me walk you through it real quick. You know, that wasn't a consultant. That was a friend who was in my community.
And it got you out of your own way. But you weren't in your own way on purpose. You didn't know what you didn't know.
I didn't know what I didn't know. I assumed it was really difficult.
Right.
It turns out it wasn't very difficult. So, you know, hopefully the point of today's episode is take step seven, get in a community. Because it's going to keep you going. It's going to keep you encouraged. Because, man, going it alone, you know, they always say, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, you know, take a friend. I'd completely disagree. I think you actually go further and faster if you take a group. You know, take a group of people with you. But that's the point of this episode. So I've got in the actual book, in the Coach Builder book, I've got a step-by-step guide to actually creating a community and a lot of, like, you know, examples of how community can dramatically affect you and your personality. So much so that if you read step 7 and you are somebody who likes to spend a lot of time alone, I bet you're going to start filling in the gaps with other communities. And you need to be around high performers if you expect to get a lot done. So, you know, you're probably listening to this episode going, well, you know, this didn't give me any practical steps on building a website. If you follow through with what we talked about on this episode, Bobby, you're going to be a very, very successful coach.
Oh, this was, it's foundational. Today was foundational. And if anybody is out there going, well, you didn't give me any practical steps or anything, I know that at the end of every episode, we have a plan of action that we grab the main takeaways from our conversation and explain how our listener can immediately implement them to strengthen and grow their coaching business. What would you say is that actionable step from our conversation about community?
Yeah. So what I would do is I would actually, just as a psychological exercise, I'd put 10 lines on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And I would make a goal over the next 12 months to fill those lines with coaches that you were getting to know. So find them, get together, buy them lunch, try to get them together. And it's, man, it's going to be like herding sheep for a minute. You know, you're going to feel like this is just, I'm treading water trying to get a coach community together. And then two or three of you are going to click. If you write down 10 names on a piece of paper, you know, you got to find those names first. He goes, I didn't realize so-and-so was coaching now, or they have a friend who's coaching. Let me call them. Just buy them lunch, get them together, say, how's your coaching business going? Hey, I'm thinking about getting a group together. At the end of a year, if you fill out all 10, three of them, you will consider good friends. Guaranteed.
That's
by the
great.
Way, if it doesn't happen for you in 12 months, Bobby and I will collectively give you the money back for listening to this podcast episode.
The money you paid for this episode.
Whatever you paid for this episode, we are going to give you your money back. But that's just how it works. First of all, it's weird, right? It's kind of weird that human beings are so freaking relational. I was going to bed last night thinking about this, and I was just like, wow, we are not independent. We like, our skin, you know, ends here, but then we need somebody else to talk to.
Right, right.
Or we get weird inside of our head. Have you ever gotten weird because you've been alone so much?
I didn't think I was weird, but my wife was telling me, you need to go hang out with some friends. Like, when I get to, you get to a certain point where you just go, no, I'm fine. I can be home all by myself, especially during COVID. I was like, oh, I'm kind of an introvert. And I was leaning into that.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great. I get to be with you. I get to be with my son. And now we have a daughter, but she wasn't born yet. But I was like, I get to spend time with you guys. And she's like, you need to go take a walk. Like, see, like, meet your friends in the park.
Get out of the house.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes, it is needed. We are social creatures.
We are. I did a season writing of father fiction, a book called Father Fiction about growing up without dad. And, you know, kind of had this romantic idea of where I wanted to write the book. And so I did it on Orcas Island, which is in the San Juans. You have to take a ferry for like 30 minutes to get out there, and you can't get off the island. And then didn't fully, you know, I was Googling it, and I was like, oh, they've got some great restaurants, and they got some great hiking, and they've got some, you know, got a theater in town. But I was Googling, like, all the pictures were from the summer, and I was there in the winter, and there was nobody there. There was nobody on that freaking island, man. There was nobody. And I spent a month alone, and I'm telling you, man, I got weird. I just felt like I came back like a weirdo talking to myself. There's sea otters out there who, like, jump in the water when they see me coming. Like, he's going to talk about his dad.
Hey, what's going on, Rick? Nope. You've named them all.
No, that guy won't stop talking to us. Yeah, so I think to acknowledge that, and just like healthy eating and healthy exercise, be around healthy people. You know, this is another thing, Bobby. We always go into relationships on this podcast. But have you had the realization? I think you have, because you are just so freaking good at this. But that one of the best ways that you can serve a friend or your spouse or your kids is to actually just sit and ask them questions and listen to their answers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, just give them the soul massage that they need, that you get when somebody actually just sits down and listens to you.
And just kind of follow their story. So you can start off with, like, asking them a question, and then they yeah, might.
How'd that feel?
Take a turn. Yeah. How'd that feel? Oh.
Yeah.
How was that?
That must have been strange. What did you see in that person that made you want to, you know, connect with them originally?
Exactly.
Just questions about, like, you know, basically elaborate. You should, you know, elaborate on that. Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
What's so great about that for me as an introvert is it's just easy. It's just like, you're just listening.
Lean into the other person. Lean into them. Yeah.
If I could go back in time, I would spend 80% less time trying to impress people or project an image that would make them think highly of me. And I would take that 80%. I still would do 20% because I think some of that's a little bit important, you know. But I would spend that 80% just trying to listen to people. I guarantee I would have had much better, but not that I had bad relationships, I had good relationships, but I would have much better connection with people if I would have done that back in the day.
Truth. I agree.
Write down 10 names. That's your plan of action. 3 of them are going to be your best buddies by the end of the year. I love it. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining me for this Coach Builder Limited series, where we are obsessed with helping you turn your knowledge and passion into a thriving coaching business. See you next week.